Eternal Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity once again we have to come before the throne of mercy and to come before your presence again this afternoon, so this evening, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for great and mighty things that you did for us, Master, in the morning services, the Sunday school, and the main service, Lord. We are grateful, Lord Jesus, for the anointing, for the inspiration you gave to your servants, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blessing that followed the same and great thing that you wrought in our lives, Father. Lord Jesus, thank you for answers to prayers already. We say, blessed be thy name, Master. Take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we commit, we look unto thee once again, Master, this afternoon, so this evening, may you help us, Heavenly Father. May you speak to our hearts, O living God. Lord Jesus, let something be said, O God, to help us to live better to your glory. Help us, Heavenly Father. Give anointing, give inspiration, give utterance. Oh, Master, may you give, O living God, Master, a revelation tool of your word, Master. Speak to our hearts. Speak from us and speak to our hearts, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What to say and how to say it, may you guide us, Heavenly Father. Shut my mouth, O living God, Master, to anything that will not be of benefit to your children, but rather, Lord, what will be a blessing to your people, Master. Help us, Lord Jesus, at the end of this service, Master, may we have every cause to glorify thy great holy name, Master. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. Your servants in other places, Heavenly Father, Sapele, Bakatari, and other places, may you be with them, Heavenly Father. Lord, see them through and help them through the rest of the service of this day, Father. Thank you for granting this request, Father. Blessed be thy name, Master. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for waiting for the afternoon of evening service. God bless you. May his blessing be our portion. Let's sing. Okay, let's have our seat, please, so that I will not keep you standing. As we sing from this hymn, 206. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Not to gentle Savior, yeah, my humble prayer. While on others thou hast smiled, do not pass me by, precious Savior. Oh, Savior, Savior, yeah.
your Lord. Is that your prayer? God bless you. We will visit that this song again. God helping us as we go along. Let's rise on our feet as we read from the book of Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1 to 6. Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1 to 6. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. We started this sermon on Wednesday. Why little Bethlehem? Of all the cities in Palestine, of all the good places in Palestine, why did God choose Bethlehem to be the birthplace of his son? There is a reason. A beautiful reason for that matter. So he said, I love it so much. You see, one thing, I think I've said it before, that this message, I thank the Lord Jesus, that Obaije Nimo, praise the Lord. I just love the way Brabra presented the word. Of course, nothing. It is God that gave it to him to give it to us. Praise you the Lord. I think this morning, around five this morning, in fact, the true picture of this sermon just came to my heart and it rejoices my heart. Praise you the Lord. So now let's just recap. I want us to recap before we continue. But Abraham taught us that God was in unusual way. And it is because he himself is what? Unusual. Praise you the Lord. But Abraham says sometimes what we human beings call great, God call what? Nothing. And what we call foolishness, God called what? Great. Praise ye the Lord. That's what Abraham said. When John the Baptist came on the scene and was preaching at Jordan, he was not among the scribes. He was not among the Pharisees. He didn't go to their school. They don't know him as, they only know him to be the son of one of their priests. He was never schooled by them. But when John the Baptist came out, he came on the scene. Brabram said he was not speaking the theological terms of his day. Oh, praise the Lord. He was talking about axe. He was talking about serpent. He was talking about tree. He was saying that the axe is laid to the root of the tree that will not bring fruit, that will not yield forth fruit. And every tree that will not yield forth fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. Then he said, ye generation of vipers, who has warned you to run away from the rod that is to come? He said, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. This man, who is a serpent now? Who is a root that is to be cut down? Who is a axe? He was not using the theological terms of the day. So that is why sometimes you say, this man, we ask you to preach. When you say you are preaching, you don't preach sermon of encouragement. It's just sermon of discouragement. At least somebody should be encouraged to serve the Lord better. The Bible taught us that the word of God comes in what? In rebuke, in correction, in instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God, the man of God will be totally furnished unto all good works. Brethren, may I say, whichever way the word of the Lord comes, it is to encourage us. Praise the Lord. That is why I love David. Like I said the other time, David said, thy rod and thy staff, they do what? They comfort me. Whether it is a rebuke, it's a comfort. Whether it is whichever way, an instruction, or an instruction, whichever way it comes, the word of God is always a correction. I mean, it's always an encouragement. It's a comfort. Praise ye the Lord. And do you know what the Bible says? Because it was not preaching in their terms, it was not preaching in their ways. The Bible says that the Pharisees rejected the counsel of God to themselves. Not being baptized by who? By John. Oh, you don't know that. That is Luke 7:30. Luke 7:30. When Jesus was telling the people that of this is the okay. This is the Pharisee. Let's go to verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Next one. And all the people that had him, and the publicans, justify God, being what? Baptized with the baptism of John. But what happened to the Pharisees? But the Pharisees and the lawyer rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves, because this one is not a preacher. This one is not Kiloma. What did he know that he wants to teach us? We are in his father. We are in the same camp. What will he know to teach us? And by so doing, they do what? They rejected the counsel of God to themselves. May God help us. Abraham also talked about the disciples, that when Jesus would call his men to preach, to take out his message, who did he call? Abraham said, fishermen, tax collectors. Those are the one he calls. He didn't call the qualified clergy. And Abraham also taught us, when Noah came on the scene, Noah was just an ordinary farmer. And that was the man God appointed, God anointed, God called to do, and God chose to do what? To proclaim the destruction of the whole heart. Moses, a runaway slave. God also, he was the one that God chose. David, of all of his father's children, when the prophet came, he was not even counted worthy to be among those that should come and see the prophet, because he was a small boy. But that was God's choice. Praise ye the Lord. So that was why Abraham stopped about characters. Then Abraham said, when it comes about cities, Abraham said, there are greater cities in Palestine than Bethlehem. Fortified cities, bigger cities. Cities that have historical background with God. Rabbi said, when you talk about Shiloh was the place where the ark of God first rested when the children of God came from Egypt. That was the place where they go year by year to do what? To do convention. It was Shiloh. Why didn't God choose Shiloh? Merciful God. Why didn't God choose Jerusalem, the biggest and the capital of the whole place? The historical Jerusalem, where King David himself even reigned. Why didn't God choose Jerusalem? But Abraham also talked about Gilgal. But Abraham said, another great spiritual place of worship. Then he talked about Zion, the city on the mountain. Why didn't God choose that place? Abraham said, what about the place of refuge, like this Hebron, like Ramon Gilead, city of refuge, that Joshua appointed that anybody that wanted refuge, that wanted to run away from the slayer, he should run to the place. Why don't God choose that place, Ramon Gilead? The Brahman said, if I would have loved him to be born in Kadesh Barnea, the judgment seat of the world. But God did not choose all those big, good places. God chose a place that was insignificant. God chose a place that was little and small. God chose a place that was not even reckoned with when Joshua was dividing the land. Bethlehem. Praise you, the Lord. Abraham said, when Joshua divided 115 cities to Judah, Bethlehem was not even mentioned because it was too small. Maybe Abraham said, maybe one or two houses were there. Mercy. So nobody mentioned Bethlehem. So, but it was there. Because we learn by the scripture that Jacob buried Rachel in Bethlehem. So it was there before Joshua. But Joshua, it was not mentioned when the lands were being divided. Praise the Lord. I think we saw that last Wednesday, that the place was there, but it was not mentioned at the time of the division of the lands. Praise the Lord. Then Brother Abraham said, let me just mention the scripture. Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Acts 15, 18. The Bible says, known to God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Or we say, known to God are all his works from the foundation of the world. God knows the reason for everything. Nothing happens to God by chance. No. You say, oh, this just happened by chance. Not at all. Not before God. Everything happened according to the way God planned it. Oh, in the morning, myself and the children were talking about when John said, I was in the spirit on the last day, in the seven church ages. Brabran said, God caught up John and transported him to the lost day. Praise the Lord. Then I was asking them, this revelation God gave to John, we have discussed that before, God gave to John 95-96 AD was when God gave to John. But he said he was in the spirit on the lost day. Said, God caught him up and transported him to that lost day. This lost day has not taken place. And God was telling his servant all that will happen in the lost day. Everything that will happen on the lost day, in the lost day, God told his servant, John, and he put it in a book. Then I was telling them, I said, did you get something? When Brother Abraham will be telling people, This is your problem. You have this sickness. You have that sickness. But doth say the Lord, you are healed. That was the same prophet, that the same God that told the prophet what will happen in the last day. It's the same God that is telling Abraham that doth say the Lord, you are healed. The last day has not happened. The healing has not taken place perfectly physically. But to God, it is done. Praise the Lord. So if you believe it like that, that the prophet of the Lord said, I am healed. There is nothing that will hinder that healing. Praise ye the Lord. Because God has seen everything done. God is not saying, maybe you will be healed. No, it is not said the Lord. Whether you even believe it or not, it will take place. Because it is what? Doth say the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So, not to God are all his works from the foundation, from the beginning of the world. God knew that Bethlehem will be the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a reason for that. Praise the Lord. So, we Okay, we continue. Joshua divided the lands and everything. Then Balaam taught us that land was established. Bethlehem, it was one of the sons of Caleb that established that place, that went to the place and started some commercial, some trade in the place. And Balaam said that happened to be the corn and the wheat belt of Palestine. In other words, that is the only place you can get good corns and good wheat out of all the land of Palestine. And that it was, Balaam said that was the most fertile portion in Palestine. Should I read it to you? You are looking at me. That's what Balaam said. He said, because it was the most fertile of all Palestine, and it was a corn belt and a wheat belt, and there was great olive orchards there. Then Solomon that established the place. Balaam also taught us that we know the history of the history of the children of Israel when they were coming from Egypt. When they got to Jericho, there was a harlot Rahab that believed God. Of all the people in Jericho, harlot Rahab, when she saw the messengers that Joshua sent, Rabbi said they were ministers, they were preachers. When they preached to her, she knew, she confessed with her mouth that ever since we heard about what God did in your journeys, how he opened the Red Sea, how he killed the king of Bashan and the rest of them. He said, your fear has been upon every one of us in this place. He said, because the Lord your God is the only God of heavens and the earth. That was why she said, please swear to me that when you come to destroy this place, because she knew that our place would be destroyed. She did not take the defensive side. That, oh, these are the people. Let's go and inform the king. They are here. We should kill them and start killing this one. If we kill this one, the rest will. No. She did not take the defensive side. She took the side of, please, why don't you swear to me that my father's house and my life will be spared when you come to destroy this place? Because she believed that that place will be destroyed. Praise the Lord. And she believed, not only believed that that place will be destroyed, she believed the God of Israel, that is the only God that is to be served and to be worshipped. And she wants to be part of these people. Praise the Lord. That was why when she had the opportunity, she didn't lose the opportunity. Like Jacob. When Jacob had the opportunity of the birthright, say, this man is hungry, and I have pottage. Aha, now swear to me. Is the same swearing now? He said, swear to me that I am the firstborn. He didn't miss that opportunity because he has been longing. You see, what you are desiring, you must be praying to Bawuni. This lady has concluded in her heart that these are God's people. These people are the only ones serving the living God. A God who hears and answers prayer. A God who performs signs and wonders and miracles. So these are the people, and I had the opportunity of having them in my house. Oh no, I will not miss this opportunity. Praise ye the Lord. Some of us, like myself, we are very slow. But this man was not slow. She acted fast. She says, swear to me, please, that my father's house and my life will be spared when you come to destroy this place. Praise ye the Lord. And do you know, because she actually had the right faith, after she now came to Israel, did she continue her prostitution? Lie. How can she continue her prostitution? She never we are following her. Then Abraham said something that I said I wish to just stay there a little. Okay, let me try to read what he said.
in paragraph 49 to 50. Paragraph 49 to 50. Let's see what in, okay, sorry, 58, the one of 58, 58 12 28. Okay, is that the one? Yes. Okay, thank you, God bless you. So, and we find out that it was also because it also became the home of the harlot Rahab. When Israel had passed over the borderline of the Jordan River into Palestine, we are acquainted with the story of Rahab the harlot. Let's picture her this morning for a few minutes now as a young lady, a beautiful young woman who some misfortune in life had forced in being a pagan. Misfortune in life forced her to live the life she was living. Being what? A pagan. Not somebody who knew God. Not somebody who goes to church. Not somebody who is a Christian. Not somebody who actually knows what is right to do. But being a pagan had been forced into the life that she was living. And many times, people are forced into the life that they live. May God have mercy. I was saying last Wednesday that nothing, absolutely nothing, no matter whatever the situation is in our lives, as a Christian, as a believer, we must never, whatever it is that we are going through, we must never at any time lose our integrity. Praise ye the Lord. Nothing is enough on this earth to take us away from the Lord. Like Apostle Paul said, he said, what shall separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus? Is it persecution? Is it peril? Is it tribulation? What is it that will make us to decide that I'm no more serving the Lord? Or will make you to be living in sin secretly? And think, like, man must survive now. Man must survive. What am I going to do? This one, that one, this one. Am I the only one? And because of that, you live in sin. Because of that, you forsake the Lord. It should never happen to a Christian or to a believer. Praise you, the Lord. Let's look at Apostle Paul a little while before we come to Rahab the harlot. The situation that we want to talk about. Apostle Paul. So, when he gave his when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on his road to Damascus, what happened? He met the pillar of fire. And the pillar, like we've had this morning, in a negative way, the pillar of fire did what? Struck him on the ground. And Barabbas said, he's looking at the pillar of fire, did what? Blindfolded him. And he asked the Lord, what must I do? God said, continue your way to Damascus. And when Ananias laid his hand on him and prayed for him, the Bible said the scale that blocked his eyes did what? Fell from his eyes. And he could see. But he had problem all through his life with that eyes. That's what Abraham said. Abraham said, his writing were big because of the problem that he has with his eyes. And what did he say? Apostle Paul testified with his own mouth that he asked the Lord thrice that God should take it away from him. But how did God answer him? My grace is sufficient for you. Praise ye the Lord. And may I say, brethren, because of what we are going to, what I want to bring across to us. If God did not say to you, my grace is sufficient to you, for you, in any situation, we should never let lose the promise of God. Praise the Lord. Did you understand what I said? Until God tell you, my grace is sufficient for you on this matter, don't you never let lose of God's promise. Even on your dying bed, keep testifying the promise of God for your deliverance, for your healing, for everything, whatever. Until God says,
Thus saith the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't you let loose those promises for your life. Praise ye the Lord. Don't say, Apostle Paul said, ask the Lord. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Maybe God want me to suffer this thing. Lie, lie. That is not God's perfect will for you. If he has not said so, keep believing his promise. Keep claiming his promise. Keep holding on to his promise. Because our God is not a disappointment. In his right time, at the right time, in his way, in his own time, he will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. That is the word. That is the right admonition of the word of God to us. Yes. Let's now come to where I want to take us to. Where you say that is Apostle Paul. You know, he's a servant of God. And just like Job and the rest of God's servants, they are supposed to know better. Abi, you say that? Huh? They are supposed to know better. They are God's servants now. When they are passing through trials and temptation, they should know how to stand. Not be so. But I want to take you somewhere. I want to take you on a journey of 19th century. I want to bring your attention to a woman that Brother Brown talked about in the messages. Fanny Crosby. How many have heard about Fanny Crosby? Oh yes. God bless you. Fanny Crosby was a woman that was blind but was a prolific hymn writer. Praise the Lord. Let me, sorry for bringing this, if you'll not be offended, for just for little time, let me just relate a story to us. When we are talking about misfortune in life, some people, when they have misfortune in life, they do what? They run away from God. But that is the time we are supposed to draw closer to God. Misfortune is not supposed to take us away from God. Misfortune, whatever it is to take away, to bring us away closer to God. Praise ye the Lord. Look at the life of this woman. She was born in March 24, 1820, in Southeast, New York, USA. Her mother's name is Mercy Crosby. In other words, that is her, Crosby is her father's name. I forgot to write down the name of the father. When she was six weeks old, was when she became blind. 6 weeks old. We learned her eyes had some discharge, and maybe because of congenital problem, she became blind at 6 weeks old. When she was 6 months old, her father died. And she has to be raised by her default mother and her maternal grandmother. The story states that despite this early tragedy, Crosby grew to be a happy Christian. A happy child, I mean to say. The story tells us that Crosby, when she was around 10 years old, the maternal grandmother will read the scripture to her. And by that, she memorized most of the verses. By the time she became 15, the story tells us that she can recite some few books in the Bible by heart. So Crosby, okay. She had opportunity of formal education. 2 weeks before she was 15, she was admitted into New York Institute of the Blind, where she studied as a blind girl for 8 years. And also, for 15 years after her study, she became a teacher in the same institution. While she was studying, she learned how to play some musical instruments. That is, she learned to play piano and some other musical instruments. There she started playing, because she loves music. There she started playing music. She published her inaugural book in 1844, titled The Blind Girl and Other Poems. She was married. Listen attentively. She was married to one Alexandra Van Hastings in March 1858, who is also a teacher in the same institution, but the man also was a blind man. In 1844 and 1846, she appeared before the U.S. Congress to represent her institution. There, she met some president of the United States. She became proficient in music, and she met some president. She was changed and had experience of conversion in November 20, 1850, when she was 30 years. She said, "I realized for the first time that I had been trying to hold the world in one hand and the Lord in the other." She prayed for God to open her eyes, but God had other plans for her. All through her lifetime, that eyes never opened. She wrote between 5,500 and 9,000 hymns. The best in her hymns are "Blessed Assurance," "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," "I Am Thine, O Lord," "Rescue the Perishing," "The Bright Forever," "Savior, More Than Life to Me." And Brother Abraham also taught us that when somebody tried to tease her, say, "Fanny, you are blind and you have never seen the Lord. How will you know him when you get there?" That was when she sang the song, "I Shall Know Him. I Shall Know Him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand." Praise ye the Lord. So, but Fanny said in her writing him process, she said, "It may seem a little old-fashioned always to begin one's work with prayer, but I never undertake a hymn without first asking the good Lord to be my inspiration." Known as a prolific hymn writer, she was also an influential figure in the rescue mission movement of the late 19th century, notably in the New York City where she lived. She was described as having a horror of wet. What does that mean? Because she never set price for her speaking, engagement. Also refused honorarium. And what little she did accept, she gave almost as soon as she get it to people that are poor. And that was exactly what Brother Abraham said. Brother Abraham said she never desired any fame. They asked her to make her publish her song and make it worldwide. She said she doesn't need it. She lived in the poor area of the town. When a preacher said, listen to this, when a preacher said, "It is a pity that Fanny could not see because she has been given so many other gifts," Fanny responded. He said, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind." Could you imagine? In other words, she justified the Lord. You see, she was not against what the choice that God has given to her. Of course, maybe if she had her eyes, she would not have known the Lord. We don't know. She said, I would have even loved to be born blind. It would have been that, do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that should ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. The first faith that will have gladdened my heart. She knows that when she gets to heaven, she will see. And when she sees, the first person she will see that will gladden her heart will be what? Our Savior. Praise you, the Lord. She died in February 12, 1915, after a 6-month illness at age 94. Can you imagine? From 6 weeks old to 94 years, it was all in darkness. And while in this darkness, she had the opportunity of giving her life to the Lord and serving that Lord all through her lifetime. All through her lifetime. And she composed so many songs. You heard it. Somewhere, some people say 8,000. That's what this story writer said. 5,000 between 5,500 and 9,000 songs. You see, her own misfortune that met her in life did not take her away from the Lord, but rather make her to be clean to the Lord. And she stayed with the Lord all through her lifetime. And Brother Abraham will talk about her. Praise ye the Lord. So there is no misfortune in life that should take us away from the Lord. If you say the ministers, they are ministers, they should be able to stand when they are going through temptation. What about this woman? She didn't seek for fame. She was even helping the poor. And she stood serving the Lord all through her lifetime. May God help us. So that is, I think we are welcome back from the journey. So Rahab, as we are talking about, it was because she was a pagan. That was why she was forced to live the life she was living. But when she had, you see, Bible says faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word of the Lord. When she heard about the God of Israel, who is a miracle working God, who is a prayer answering God, she never took the opposite side that these are not my people. She rather wanted to be part of these people. Whatever it will cost me, let me be with these people. And when she saw the opportunity, she used it quickly. And after, praise the Lord, just before we close, we'll stop on that. But Abraham said, when the messengers, the preachers, when they told her what to do, he said, for this thing that you have made us to swear, you see, this scarlet cord by which you led us down to escape, tie it to your window. He said, but if this scarlet cloth is not there, our blood is free from the blood of anybody of your people. But if you tie it there, our God will do something for you. Praise the Lord. And Brother Brown said, that scarlet cloth, you see, what usually wonder means is this. It was not Joshua that told those brethren, those two spies, that when you get there, you have any problem, tell Rahab to tie scarlet cloth. No. It was not God that gave them the revelation that when this thing, this is what you tell her to do. But by inspiration, they asked the woman to tie the scarlet cloth. And God honored that. In so much that when they shouted and all the walls of Jericho fell down, a house that was on the fence, nothing happened to our house. Praise the Lord. And Brother Abraham said this. Let me read it to us. Just as we close. That should be okay, excuse me. The one of 58:12-28, paragraph 51 to 54.
Paragraph 51 to 54. Alright. Let me read it. Yeah. He said, and this young woman, after she had got a first hearing of Israel and of a God who was a God that answered prayer, not only a God to pray to, but a God that answered back. When she heard that there was a God of miracles who could perform miracles, who dried up the sea and raised bread out of heavens, her heart began to tremble. And when she got the first message from the two preachers that went over, quickly she accepted it with all her heart. And there was a scarlet cord bound at her window for a protection of her house, because that she had received the message. And I might heard here, did you know she tied the Gentile church? She was a Gentile, and she was a type of the Gentile church. When they heard the message, we were all out in spiritual prostitution, committing spiritual fornication against the God of heaven, in all kinds of stuff, all kinds of denominations and religions. But when we heard that there was a God that still lived, that could perform miracles, quickly we received the message. There was applied the blood of the Lord Jesus, which made the scarlet cord. And to keep from doing it, from going into details, you know how she hung it from her window publicly. She hung it what? Publicly. It was not a secret thing that she did. That is why we don't believe Jesus and put Jesus Christ in our pocket. Everywhere we go, we display the blood of Jesus. We display Jesus everywhere they go that I'm a Christian. Let them say whatever they want to say. If you are truly a Christian, you will display Christ everywhere you go. You don't pocket Christ's religion. I don't want them to know that I'm hes you. And so what? Let them say what they want to say. I'm a Christian. It will even save your life, save you from trouble. It was publicly, and the blood was displayed publicly. That is the way the blood has got to be displayed, publicly, hanging from the outside of the wall, to show that on the inside something had what? Taking place. Praise the Lord. That display of the outside shows that something has taken place here. But if you were ashamed to display it, it means nothing has taken place here. I don't care what anybody wants to say. What concerns me with your own? This is my Christ. This is my Lord. This is my God. And I'm serving my Lord in the way I know. So what concerns? Serve your God the way you like, the way you want. What concerns you with me? That is the way the true believer in Christ is this morning. On the outside is the display of the blood of the Lord Jesus that shows something took place on the inside. And through this, God looked down for when the rod fell and the trumpet began to blow. God seen the scarlet cord hanging there as a memorial. It always pleased him to pass over the blood. God will not step on his own blood. Praise ye the Lord. Where the blood of Jesus is, God will not step inside and God will not allow the destroying angel to step inside. Just like in Egypt, where they were to put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, and the destroying angel, when he's going for anywhere, the angel sees the blood. He does what? Pass over that house. He will never enter that house. Because the blood of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the blood of the Lord is in that place. Yes, sir. The word of the Lord, the blood of the Lord is in that place. His word, his blood is there. And he will not enter his own house to bring destruction. He will not. Because it was his instruction.
It was not man's idea. It was his own instruction that should be done. And anywhere his instruction is carried out, he will never enter there to bring destruction. At the time of wrath, when the wrath of God will pour down, anywhere the blood of Jesus is, God will do what? He will pass over the place. So, he is always pleased in to pass over the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. He saw it. And when the shaking and the Holy Ghost rumbled the hearts and shake down them walls, some 20 feet thick. 20 feet thick. Hey. Do you ever imagine it? 20 feet thick. Ah. A fence that they build house on top. 20 feet. Hey, engineer of Abraham, how will 20 feet be? 20 feet. Ah. Eh? 10. Okay, 10 of it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. From there to this place. Eh? Defense. And the wrath of God did what? Pull them down. But the house of Rahab, nothing touched it. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Kai, 20 feet. 20 feet thick. Not one rod fair where the cord was hanging. Shows the protection of the true God for a true what? Believer. Praise ye the Lord. The true protection for a true believer is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise ye the Lord. No matter what state you are in, when he finds you, if you will just accept that scarlet cord, it weighs through the Bible. Praise the Lord. That's the best place to be. To be under the blood. And how do we come under the blood, children? How do we come under the blood? The Bible taught us repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for what? For remission of sins. There you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. When that is done, you are perfectly what? Under the blood. It's repent and be baptized. Know that you were born a sinner. Know that without God you are doomed. And repent of all your sins. True general repentance. Surrender your life to God. Accept Jesus Christ to your life. And go to water in his name. And be baptized in his name. Then receive you the Holy Ghost. Then you are perfectly under the blood. Praise you the Lord. May God help us. That is the way to be under the blood. And everyone that is under that blood. Because Brother Abraham taught us that in Egypt, that was the token. Brother Abraham said the token today is what? It's not more the chemistry. It is the life that came out from the blood. And that is the Holy Ghost. Let's bow down our heads. No situation to make a Christian to forsake the Lord. Whatever the situation be is, let us cling more to the Lord. Every situation, God only allow it to give us testing. God only allow it to even draw us more closer to him. And when we are under that blood, nothing will harm us. Let's commit ourselves unto the Lord.
Why little Bethlehem? We'll continue another time. God make a way for us. If you want to be remembered in prayer, why don't you raise up your hand while his servant will pray for us. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Bless you, sir.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to bring our thanksgiving unto you, Lord, for this privilege again to sit and listen to your word re echoed unto us. Lord, we read the Bible and saw different stories that are put there of people that were before us, people that served you, people that you dealt with. We just add again tonight of this harlot Rahab that took the spies or your servants, the preachers that first came to check their place. Lord, by revelation, you make her to know that these are godly people, and she lodged them in. No doubt she will have given them dinner that night, hiding there washing their feet, make sure that they are secured. Lord, and Lord, she, after those people have gone and gone their way, she still came to them to talk to them and make her confession known. Her stand, her belief, her confidence and her expectation, and pleaded for mercy. And Lord, you have said that whosoever cometh unto me, I will not was cast out. She came unto you, and Lord, she was not cast out. And you did wonders for her and her household, as many as will listen to her and come and stay under the token. In this our own day, you sent your servant also to us. By your grace, we recognize him. We knew that this is one man in the hands of God, that it came from you, because we could see the sign of your vindication in that ministry. We saw the exemplary life that you lived through him. We saw the word undiluted as he brought it, pure and righteous, that can stand everywhere. Lord, we are grateful unto you. Thank you very much that you cause our eyes to be opened to this great truth in our generation. We bless your holy name. Having fine favor before you, O God, that you have dealt with us as you dealt with Harlot Rahab. Majority of us also were in gross darkness of different things. Lord, with terrible lives. Lord, with instilled religions that does not have life. And different things. We are no better than Rahab. But Lord, in our low estate, you came across our path, and we saw, O God, the sign of your presence. And because of predestination in our life, we recognize it, and we have come to you, and you have done wonders, O God. From that time that Rahab's name was mentioned, the New Testament, that name never went out. Even Hebrews still made mention of it. Lord, we thank you. Because anyone that come to you, their name remain indelible in your record. By your grace and your mercy, we have the vindication also that because we have put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, that's why we could recognize this truth. That's why we could come unto you. That's how we could believe it. That's how we could follow it. We thank you very much. If there be anyone in this audience that is still between two opinions as regard this message, whether to stand for it, whether to believe it, whether to confess it, whether to have a token and display it publicly or not, we pray, dear Father, since revelation come only from you, understanding come only from you, you are the only one that can open the eyes of the blind. May you be gracious unto your people. Visit us individually, dear Father. Deal with us as you deal with your elect, dear Master. Master, we pray, O God, that whatsoever need, Lord, that cause your children to lift up their hands, you are the only one. Not even the preacher knew why the hand is raised up. It could be physical needs. It could be spiritual needs. It could be sickness. It could be for somebody else. Whatsoever it is, your word said that you are rich unto all them that call upon you. We pray, therefore, Father, that whatsoever the need of your children is, may you grant it, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. These righteous ways we have put our feet upon, may you establish us the more. Give us more revelation, more ability and grace to serve you better. May you grant unto us, Father, as many as are sincerely seeking for the Holy Ghost baptism, may you feed them, dear God of heaven. Take away from your children every procrastination. Take away doubt. Take away unbelief. Give unto each one of us the desperation at the hour that we are in demands, O Lord. Thank you, Eternal Father. Thank you for the life of Fanny Crosby. Lord, it's a life. Oh God, it's very rare. We used to talk of the man that was born blind and for 40 years before the eyes was opened. But it is a woman of 94 years in darkness. And yet she served you. Lord, may you be our help. Take away complaint from us. Take away murmuring from us. Take away bad thoughts from us. Anything the enemy might want to offer us in our hours of trials and temptations, may you stand for us, dear Father. Make us true overcomers, Lord. In every situation, may we give thanks unto you. Blessed be your wonderful name. We bless your name and we are so grateful to you. The blessings we have received today, may they be permanent in our life. Dear Lord, we want to ask, O God, that your servant you have made yourself, that just finish the service and you replenish him, Father. Lift up the honor of his ministry and that of the rest of your servant. Thank you for bringing your servant from Bakatari. We are grateful unto you. We ask that you strengthen him also. Your servant that is in the Sample, may you be his strength and see him through his journey, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. As you brought us here and you have blessed us today abundantly, we are facing another week, O God, of activities. Students, some of them may be on holiday, and workers, business people, whatsoever for the lot of your children, may your protection be upon us. Be with us in our going out and coming in. Bless the work of our hands. Rebuild the for us for our sake. Grant all our expectations. Grant our prayers, Lord. This week may be full of testimonies. Give us good and perfect day to enjoy it, Lord. Your children that are sick in the body, may you give unto them complete and total healing, dear Father. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Take us home safely. Give us a wonderful night rest, Lord. When we will come together, we are still here by Wednesday, may we receive more blessings, dear God. Blessed be your wonderful name for granting this petition unto us, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. When the service of today has come to its end, and we dismiss immediately. Let's sing one of these songs of Fanny Crosby. Can I remember some of them? So you said okay, yes, that one is well. Let's that's 38, I believe. Most of those songs are in our hymn book that are mentioned. Yeah, shall we rise, please?